You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. Today, once again, we are speaking with author and CEO of the Business Olympian, Gavin Freeman. For over 15 years, Gavin and his team have worked with large and medium-sized companies supporting their goals of being more efficient, agile, and innovative, or as our Olympians like to refer to, it faster, higher, and stronger. The lessons learned during his time as a sports psychologist for several Olympic teams, Gavin brings a highly motivational and bespoke methodology to building a high-performance and innovative culture. His new book, Just Stop Motivating Me, has just been released. Gavin, welcome once again to Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me, man. It's good to be back.
Yes, sir, and good to have you, and good morning. So, motivation is not a new concept. We have been trying to understand it for many years, and over time we have seen a maturity in its understanding. Last time we spoke with you, we discussed your motivational mindset continuum. We believe you have now released this as a book. Can you briefly remind us of your approach and what the rest of the book is about?
Yeah, look, what I was trying to do was really dive deeply into understanding what drives motivation within individuals and recognizing that everybody seems to respond very differently. And the good old ways of describing motivation and recognizing how to motivate people doesn't seem to be working. We've seen too many examples around where people don't necessarily follow the old positive and negative reinforcement approach or the carrot and the stick approach, or maybe we'll just pay them more money and they'll be more motivated. We're starting to see people act in very, very different ways, and we only have to look at the free software that's coming out in the world to recognize that people are prepared to do things but are driven by something else. So what I looked at was trying to build this motivational continuum, which identifies two variables across the continuum, being motivated to succeed and motivated to avoid failure. But the interesting thing about the continuum is that everybody can shift between both sides of that continuum. And depending on the context of the environment will drive whether you are motivated to succeed or motivated to avoid failure. But what's fascinating is that the same task can get you to shift between one to the other. So for a quick example, for those people who don't like public speaking, and we think about it, and it fears a lot of people out there. If I were to say to them, are you happy to speak in front of your family and friends? They would say, sure, not a problem. If I said, are you happy to speak in front of your colleagues at work? They might say, yeah, that's okay. But as I start to increase and up the ante and say, would you be prepared to speak in front of your boss or maybe the CEO or maybe the board? And all of a sudden, their motivation shifts, and so they become somewhat more motivated to avoid failure towards the end. And so what my theory tries to suggest is that if we can understand this continuum, we're able to, as an organization and as an individual, find out what are the key specific factors that drive an individual and then hopefully create the best environment for them to be successful. So through this process, I was able to go and collect a whole bunch of research from different people and gain some really unique insights.
Now, you've interviewed a number of high-profile CEOs, CFOs, and other executives. If you don't mind, share with us some of their insights that you gathered.
Well, what was fascinating about all of those individuals is that they were all different, but they had some common themes in regards to the way they viewed this. And probably the most important element about it is the most successful CEOs and execs out there have an incredibly high level of self-awareness. So they understand what motivates them and they understand what drives them, but they're also very cognizant of the fact that the people around them are going to be quite different. So, it's recognizing that, they need to know what's going on inside themselves and then start to look at what happens with their teams and what happens with their company. So I'll give you a few examples, starting with yourself. One of the CEOs turned around and said to me, the first thing he does is spend 5 minutes in his car every morning just checking in on how he's going. So he drives into the parking lot, he sits down, spends 5 minutes self-reflecting, so that he knows the type of motivational mindset he's going to bring into the day when he walks upstairs. He doesn't walk upstairs and become highly reactive to whatever's hitting him. He's setting the tone for what he wants to do. Then, moving into your teams, it's recognizing that you can't touch everybody. And it's recognizing that your team becomes an amplification of what you want. And the question many CEOs are challenged with is, do you want them to just be stereo, as in same sound coming out of the same speakers, or do you want to have a more Dolby, you know, the 7.1, or even now we're getting to 9.1. So do you want to have different sounds coming out of different speakers, i.e. your people sending you different messages? And the final little piece around teams was many of the executives I spoke to reflected on a comment which I best described as they were happy for people to stand on their shoulders rather than them standing on the shoulders of their people. And so, you know, if you think of the method, the mindset behind that of allowing people to stand on your shoulders, is you're there as a, you know, as a motivational tool to enable them to stand and to enable them to be higher. And then the final piece was around the company. And one of the CEOs I spoke to said something to me that absolutely blew me away. He turned around and he said he doesn't create business plans anymore. And, you know, you think of everybody out there who says, we've got to have a business plan, we've got to have a marketing plan. And so the definition of a plan is, we've done it, we've decided on it, and now we're going to execute on it. His argument was, we need to have a business argument. And so we need to develop an insight into where this business is going. But then we need to allow our teams to debate the plan and be prepared to sometimes convince them. You know, we need to be able to put forward an argument that people can then engage with. The final little piece about companies, and one of the greatest insights I got was from the head of HR from one of the largest organizations here in Australia. And he turned around and he said, we have an internal mechanism where we give our people permission to say yes, which is very different from what many organizations have out there, where ironically, what they do is they give their people permission to say no. You know, you tell them all the things they can't do, and so therefore they don't have permission to say yes, and unfortunately what that does, it takes away. So those are those three, I guess, unique insights across both the individual, their teams, and their companies.
And what do you find are the key things which motivate people? And in your research, were there any little known things that surprise you concerning what motivates people?
Well, this is where it gets really fascinating, because unfortunately, there was no finding. The challenge here is that everybody is different. And we think about, you know, several years ago, if I had said to you, you know, would there be an incredibly large organization that provides content to the world for free, we'd say no. And yet now you look online and whether it's Wikipedia or it's LinkedIn or it's in many of those other social websites where people choose to share information in a free and open way, we start to see that people are motivated by different things, and it's not the good old days where we think money was just the only way to do things. The other thing that comes into mind is when we start to look around the way companies are starting to try to understand what motivates people, and what I'm finding is that companies are asking the wrong question. They often ask to look for the average response of what's going to motivate their people, and then if they can understand the average, they can go out and offer the average. And therefore, they're asking the wrong type of question. It's kind of like saying, what type of peanut butter do both people like? The right question should be, what type of peanut butters do most people like? Because some like it smooth, some like it crunchy, and some like, you Americans over there like it mixed with jelly, which I don't understand, but apparently you guys love it. So, you know, motivation is the same. Some people like to be micromanaged. Some people like to work with their friends. Some even like to just simply have a say of what type of coffee you stored in the kitchen, and that enables them to be motivated. So the challenge here is that organizations and leaders need to step back and stop asking what is the average and actually start to understand what are the averages within my organization.
And I just got a kick out of the peanut butter and jelly comment there. That is hilarious. Today we are joined by Gavin Freeman, CEO of the Business Olympian and the author of his new book, Just Stop Motivating Me, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter simply at ePodcast Network. Gavin, why do you think businesses should stop motivating people and focus on creating an environment where people choose to motivate themselves?
You know, every time if I had a dollar for every senior exec I spoke to who said they don't have time in their day or their people aren't doing the things that they want them to do, you know, I'd be a very, very, very rich man. Unfortunately, we spend so much of our time trying to force people to do things without recognizing that there is definitely an easy way. So in simple terms, creating an environment where people choose to use their discretionary efforts to benefit the organization ultimately creates more time, people are more efficient, and you as a leader can direct your energies where it needs to be rather than continually pushing people along. Imagine the analogy of saying, I want to move you from one side of the room to the other side of the room, and I'm going to motivate you because I'm going to put my hand on your back and I'm going to gently guide you and push you along the way. The problem is, the minute I take my hand away, you're either going to stop. At best, you're going to stop and stay where you are. Most likely, what's going to happen is you're going to stop and you're going to return back to where you started. So what we're wanting to do is, you know, by stopping this mindset of needing to motivate people and actually starting to inspire them and focus on an environment where they can motivate themselves, it's going to free you up. It's going to enable you to have a healthy environment where your people are choosing to be there, they're wanting to work hard, they're prepared to put in that discretionary effort and move away from what I call the Chardonnay committed group. So you think about your organizations out there where you've got a whole group of people who are supportive of your idea, but they don't necessarily put in the discretionary effort. You know, it's the Chardonnay club. It's the group that sits back. You know, they clap their hands gently. They're always nodding their head and positive about the ideas, but they never roll up their sleeves and do any work. And so part of this process is saying, stop motivating, start finding the right ways to inspire your organization and do it in a way that enables them to choose to. So to do that, you've got to start asking your people what motivates them, not thinking about what motivates you.
And what are some ways in general and or L&D professionals can create an environment where workers motivate themselves?
There's a couple of things. I've sort of started talking about a few of them along the way, but it sounds simple. Start talking to your people. Actually start talking. We always run these surveys. We take pulses. We get people to fill stuff in. But when I start to look at what organizations do with that data, it's often rechunked or the statistics are aligned to the approach that the message that they want to do, and they don't actually look at the information and listen to your people. You'd be surprised. Find the hotspot in your organization. There is always certain social hotspots around what people are saying. They'll tell you what you need to do. The next bit is that culture has to be led by the top. And we've been hearing that forever. But do you know how many times I have been engaged by organizations to come in and run a leadership program, but the senior leaders don't need to go on it, or the board doesn't need to go on it? So what you get happening is that you get inconsistencies between your leadership and what's happening down below. One of the best comments I heard from one of the individuals who was a senior exec in a very large organization is that people will smell bullshit a mile away. So if you're inconsistent and not acting authentically, you just don't stand a chance. The second thing is to consider looking at your leaders and really start to examine the shadow that they cast and looking at their leadership shadow. Now, if we think of a shadow, we recognize that directly behind you is going to be the darkest bits. That's the bits you're going to have direct control over. But like all good shadows, it dissipates as you move further away from the source blocking the light. But realizing that your leadership shadow extends beyond just your immediate control and recognizing the sphere of influence your people have can significantly go a long way in helping leaders drive the organization and drive the culture outside of their immediate levels of control. Couple of other little things. Think about the filters and the unconscious messages that are being sent out, the artifacts, the symbols, the people who say, I have an open door policy, but their back's always to the door. The people who say, we have an inclusive culture, but certain people aren't allowed on certain levels. So those sort of things really play a role. People will pick up on the unconscious messages. People will also pick up on certain things. So, you know, the IT folk out there are going to hate me saying this, but IT policies drive incredibly interesting cultures, particularly around the current environment or around people wanting to bring their own devices to work. So you like your own devices. You know what makes you feel good the way you're working, and yet your organization tells you what you can and can't do. So unfortunately, what that does is it drives a different form of motivation. You know, if we can look at ways of making people feel more comfortable, it can definitely help. And the last bit of advice is always make sure if you're going to give people levels of accountability, you have to have the matching levels of authority. If you don't have that and you hold people account for something that they don't have authority over, their motivation will dissipate instantaneously. And unfortunately, you'll end up in an organization where it's, I have to do this, but I've got no control over what I'm supposed to do. So how am I supposed to do it? And unfortunately, that leads to a pretty negative culture. So really make sure that if you match your authorities to accountabilities, you get people who have control over their own environment, they have control over their own work product, and they're able to give you that discretionary effort.
In 60 seconds, do you think employers putting pressure on employees is a positive for motivation?
Yeah, you know, I hear this all the time. And working with athletes, it was always that question, you know, the yelling coach. Ironically, sometimes it can be. For some people, they do need that little bit of extra push and that little bit of extra pressure. It's how you put it. Some people love the pressure. They thrive in it. They want to get out there. They come in and ask for more all the time. And often we often hear the busiest person is the person you always give work to because they find ways to do it. So, yes, it can be. Putting pressure on it can be a very good thing. It's how you put the pressure on, and it's the interpretation, and this is the key, and this is the last piece I want to leave you guys with. It's about how individuals deal with failure that is important. So pressure is good, but if you fail, then that's where you start to see how a culture is built within an organization. Because if individuals are able to see failure as a stepping stone to future success, you are on an absolute winner.
Certainly interesting conversation here and a topic. We thank you so much for your expertise and everything shared here today. Tell our listeners where they can get your new book and where they can get more information on the Business Olympian.
Absolutely. You can either head to businessolympian.com or if you want to have a look at my personal site in regards to the book, and there's a questionnaire on the site that you can fill in to see your motivational continuum, head over to gavinfreeman.com and you'll find all the information there.
Well, once again, Gavin, thanks for spending a moment with us here today on Enterprise Radio, and certainly look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks a lot.
We have been speaking with Gavin Freeman, CEO of the Business Olympian and the author of his new book, Just Stop Motivating Me. And from a background in elite sport and professional business, Gavin and his team provide executives with the skills to create high-performing teams who can work and deliver consistently under pressure. As a lead into his new book, Gavin is offering a free copy of his first book, The Business Olympian. Head to his website, gavinfreeman.com, and have a look in the top right-hand corner. It will only cost you a tweet. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.